Tuesday, 23 February 15, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. For some time now, we have been continuing our study from Ezekiel chapter 8 and other New Testament scriptures that are applicable. In chapter 8 of the book of Ezekiel, God, by the Spirit, brings Ezekiel back to Jerusalem to show him why the children of Israel had to go into captivity. He shows him the darkness, the idolatry, and the immorality that was going on there at the house of God. And what we have found in all of these situations is that there are two things that are inseparable, and that is idolatry and immorality. Right now, we're looking at the church in Thyatira, one of the churches in Asia Minor that John wrote to. And by the way, I want to say this again. I believe that the seven churches that are listed here are also, they are representative of different portions of the church age beginning in Acts chapter 2 and going into the rapture of the church, where I believe we find that in Revelation chapter 4. Certainly we see the rapture in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. Well, on the last broadcast, we were looking at the problem with the church in Thyatira, though there were some good things that God could say about that church, and yet they had a woman in that church by the name of Jezebel. Now, whether that was her actual name or whether she was being identified, you know, we'll say sometimes, well, that woman is a Jezebel. We know the character of Jezebel, the wife of Ahab. She was an idolatress. She was a very, very wicked woman. But anyway, the woman, Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, was in that church. Now, she had a real position of leadership in the church at Thyatira, and she was teaching God's servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And dear friend, there we have it again. We have things sacrificed to idols and fornication going hand in hand. And evidently, nobody was saying anything about it. Nobody was doing anything about it, much like the church over in Corinth, that a man had entered into an immoral relationship with his father's wife, which would be his stepmother. We would call her his stepmother. And Paul rebukes the church because he made it clear that nobody cared anything about it. It didn't matter to them. Everything just kept going on. Well, there's always a penalty for this. And I want you to see it here in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. And it's always true whenever immorality gets into the work of God. Let's never forget, holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. So, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. My, don't you see the mercy and grace of God here? God said, I gave her space to repent, and she wouldn't do it. Therefore, God had to do something about it. Verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a bed with them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. Now, maybe some of you say, well, preach, I don't take that to be literal. I take this to be a spiritual application, and what he was speaking about was apostasy. Well, it might be applied to that, but just as I'm reading it here, they were having there a real problem with the flesh. Now, whether it's adultery or whether it's apostasy, you're going to always have this result. Verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. One thing is absolutely sure, if we allow idolatry and the sins of the flesh to be taught and practiced in the midst of the work of God, it's going to produce death. You know, I remember a situation my wife and I was introduced to many years ago. We were traveling, and we stopped at a church down in Florida where a fellowship meeting was being held, and kind of caught us by surprise because of the preacher who was the host preacher. Evidently, he had had some kind of close call as far as morality was concerned. And he got up and he said something like this, you know. He said, "I used to think it would take a Ferrer faucet to turn my head or to turn my eye." In other words, he was saying, "I used to think it would take somebody really beautiful to turn my head, to turn my eye. That is an immoral way." Now you say, "Preacher, he was actually saying this from the pulpit." Yep, he was saying this from the pulpit. And yet what he was saying was that evidently God had just rescued him from a close call. Must have been something that other people knew about that he wanted them to know that he had the victory over. But here's what I found out later. To the best of my knowledge, the woman that he was talking about that he had had this close encounter with, she had been responsible for having affairs with a number of the preachers who had been in that church before him. Yeah, that's what they said. She had had an affair with a number of the preachers, and of course they had lost their ministries, and yet she was there in the church. Let me tell you something else that really concerns me. You say, "Well, preacher, that sounds pretty far out." Well, I'm telling you, I didn't embellish that one bit. But let me tell you how this thing can happen. Remember the steps of the downfall of a people or nation or a church in Romans chapter 1? "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." So many people, I truly believe, when they're looking for a church, are not looking for a spiritual church. And I'm not talking about some superficial, pious thing. But they're not looking for a church where the Word of God is going to be taught, it's going to be preached, where you have godly standards and you have godly music. No, what they're going to be looking for is a, quote, church, end quote, where people do their own thing, where the music is contemporary. Instead of it being spiritual, it appeals to the flesh, and where the people are more interested in athletic programs for their children than they are in that their children will hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. Now, dear friend, I don't think I'm out of bounds of that at all. You know, when we're looking for church, we ought to be looking for a church where Christ is going to be honored, where the Word of God is going to be taught. I'm not against athletics, but that's not what the church is for. Dear friend, we're not for athletics. We're not here to propagate athletics. We're not here to propagate entertainment. We're here to magnify Christ. We're here to edify the body of Christ, and we are here to seek to win the lost to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've got nothing against church having some activities sometime, and as long as they don't get out of hand, and as long as they're the tail and not the head, because when the tail starts wagging the dog, dear friend, then you've got trouble. I think you can understand where I'm coming from. Well, they were allowing this wickedness to go on in the church, and God said, "I'll have to deal with her children." This is exactly what he said. "And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to his works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira," and I like this, "as many as have not known this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. Let us be thankful that not everybody was involved in this. You can see this. And the Lord makes it clear that I'm addressing this to those who are guilty. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for your precious word. The incense of it giveth light. Lord, I know that we all have weakness in the flesh, but, oh God, you've given us grace to have victory over it. You said sin shall not have dominion over you, because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll protect us as individuals. I pray that thou would protect us as churches. I pray that you'll help us to stand, and having done all to stand. Lord, we would that you would not have to destroy our country. We would that you would not have to lead your children back into captivity again because of the sins of the flesh and the sins of the spirit. Help us, and then bless these who are responsible for airing these broadcasts. I pray that you'd bless them, dear Lord, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. But we ask it in that name that's above all other, even our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. God willing, on our next broadcast, we'll be looking at the message to the church in Sardis. Please join us then if you can.